Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kim D. Foster. It's so glad to have you here in the show today. Today is a day that I believe can be life-changing for you. This is a day that we're going to talk about you unsubscribing from things that no longer work for you. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe you've subscribed to the point of view that you are always right, that you know a lot, okay? Well, okay, maybe you know a little bit, but quite frankly, most of us are not playing at the genius level. So maybe you unsubscribe from that. Maybe you unsubscribe from the fact that you think you're right about your political views, or maybe you're right about the way that you need to raise your family, or maybe you're right about the way that your relationship should look like, or your home should look like. Maybe there are things in your world that you need to question. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that there's a possibility that if you're not getting the results that you want, right, then you're going to have to change yourself, right? If you really want to change this world, you gotta, I think it was Gandhi that said, be the change you want to see in the world, right? So if there's stress in your life, if there's trauma, drama, is there's a lot of chaos, maybe there's challenges, disempowering beliefs leave clues, okay? They leave clues of financial ruin or lack of finance. They leave clues of broken marriages. They leave clues of broken friendships because you don't know how to have an effective communication with somebody who has different views than you. It leaves clues in your health. If you're not paying attention to your health the way that you need to, then you'll pay the consequences. Some people dig their graves with their mouths, right? But they're ripe. They want to eat. They want to do that. Okay. So I'm telling you this because it's a life-changing show today. If you can unsubscribe from some of your beliefs, things can get better. Things that no longer were working or serving you can now start to shift. And I have my very special guest. Actually, he's been on my show before because we had such a great conversation. I've invited him back again, and we're going to have that same discussion about how you can unsubscribe from things that are no longer working in your life. So we'll be right back after the break, and I'll introduce my special guest.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and I am so happy Julio Vincent Gambuto has resubscribed to come to my show. And maybe we're going to talk about some areas that we need to unsubscribe as we get going here. Julio, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you, Ken.
Yeah, it's great to be with you too. By the way, some of you may not know Julio yet, but he is the author of the new book, Please Unsubscribe, Thanks, which is now available from, where is it available? Barnes & Noble. Oh, it was Barnes & Noble Pick of the Month for August 2024. And it's available wherever great books are sold. So we hope you'll pick that book up today. First of all, you know, some of my readers haven't, they don't know why you wrote the book. So let's just start there. Why'd you write the book?
Sure. It came out of the pandemic. And, you know, now that we've hit the 5-year mark, Ken, it seems in many ways a distant memory, and in many ways it feels like yesterday. And, but the experience of the pandemic for me was that I was trapped in an apartment in Manhattan here in New York for about 6 months by myself, you know, left to go to the grocery store and to go running and whatnot. But it was the first really real period of my life that I had spent that much time alone. And it really changed my life. I mean, it was really kind of the first chapter where I had slowed down and took a deep breath and got off of the treadmill of my life and got off of autopilot and got to really reevaluate. And you know, I'm not grateful for the tragedy nor for the calamity that was the world then. But I am grateful for the lessons that came out of it and they've helped, help me write the book. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Benefits of somebody read this book. What do you say?
Well, you know, the book is really about, we're at my office, you can see, the book is really about the process, that I went through, that I've sort of translated for the reader. Some of it was conscious, some of it wasn't, but looking back, I was able to kind of break it into a framework so that if people want to step away from the pinging and the ringing, the dinging, and all the things that feel stressful, feel not aligned with who they are naturally, feel constantly in conflict with where they are in their life, they could have a framework to do that. So the book really lays out the different stages that one can go through if you want to take a step back and turn the volume down and reevaluate where things are in your life.
It's really good. Well, you heard my monologue. You know, there are just, disempowering beliefs leaves clues, right? Whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And, I just think there's, you know, just as you got really clear within the pandemic, there were automatic behaviors possibly that you were doing, you're seeing a lot of other people doing, societal pressures, you know, there's a lot of stress and, you know, that impact our happiness and who we are. I think that just needs to change. And, if we're not changing it, we're either getting healthier or healthier as an individual, or we're getting sicker and sicker. And, you know, and same thing as a country, right? As the individuals go, so goes the country. So what do you think, man?
I agree. I mean, I mentioned to you before we went live here that I'm just getting through a year of battling cancer, and I'm doing okay. I'm in remission from stage 3 colon cancer. I've just begun to talk about it, so I'll fumble through this a bit. But, you know, I think there's definitely a correlation between the way that my life was going and being ill. I don't know that it caused it, but I do know that the period of my life that was the most stressful and the most misaligned with who I want to be in the world and what I believe, and spending time feeding my body the right things and exercising and being with the people that I love, when I was most out of line with all of that, I was the sickest, and that kind of culminated in this tumor. I'm not a doctor. I don't necessarily know what caused it, but I do know that it's been an opportunity to, even after I wrote this book, to take a deep breath and to reevaluate how I go forward and how I go forward in a healthier way, right? I mean, it's so much of the pandemic was spiritual and emotional and job related and all of the above. And then suddenly cancer was about my physical body. And so that's been an eye opener for sure.
Well, we've had colon cancer in, my brother's had it, my sister's had it, my dad had it, my mom had it. I'm sure if my other brother had lived, he probably would have got it. But, I looked at that, I thought, you know, and we have family that was, they're meat and potato and steak people, and they, you know, ate a lot of canned foods and things like that. And you know, I looked at that and I said, well, you know, that's I don't want to do that. So for me, it was a choice. Learn how to read labels, learn how to open my mind up, let go of some of my old beliefs around it,
what?
And see what happens. Well, you know, I just got my last test about 3 or 4 months ago, and I'm clear, you know, I've been clear.
Right.
And I do think we know a lot of the causes of it, by the way. You know, we've got a society in this country where we can add food additives. We can add over 4,000 different food additives. In Europe, they can add 400. Okay. We've got, foods that, you know, our wheat, the wheat stalk, when I was growing up, you know, wheat stalk was 12 inches. Wheat stalk now is about three, four inches, you know, because of the GMO. They've genetically modified our wheat and to put Roundup in there, you know, that somehow, you know, the bugs won't eat it, but you know, it's killing us. So, you know, it's like stupidity. It's like, how stupid can we get? You know,
well, how rich can we get is the question.
You've got farmers, you know, the local farms used to, you know, have maybe a maximum about 200 cows across the country. Now we've got stockyards, 25,000 cows all put together, all being shot up with hormones. And now I hear they're even giving them RNA vaccinations for those cows, which we don't even know what that shit does. So, you know, it's kind of a crazy world that we're living in. But from my point of view, here's my point. My point is this, is you got to get smart. You got to get smart. You got to get smarter than we've ever been. Or suffer the consequences.
I agree. And I think, I think one of the biggest changes in the last few years for me has been to, you know, not only care for myself as an individual, but to really start to think about where I sit in the system. And I joke about, you know, the question is who's getting rich, but I'm serious to say that in any system, someone is benefiting from every part of the way a system is designed. I mean, it's designed in order to benefit someone. And so whether that's a class of society, whether that's a particular company or an industry. You know, as we have these political conversations and health conversations, especially in the last 5 years, it's really important to be asking respectfully, kindly, but aggressively, you know, who's benefiting here from the fact that we have 4,000 additives here that, 3,600 of which they don't have in Europe and are not legal in Europe. I'm, you know, going by your numbers. Someone's benefiting. And I think that's the first place to start our sort of investigation of the system that we're involved.
I couldn't agree more, you know, and of course we want people to benefit. We want, you know, but it needs to switch from, profit benefit to a societal benefit that, you know, the companies win,
absolutely,
the community wins, you know, everybody wins here. We don't have to have this one sided anymore. And I think that's what we've gone wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the history of the corporation, if you look at the history of capitalism in the last 100 years, and I remind readers in my book that I am a capitalist. I just think it's important to evaluate and reevaluate, you know, the benefits and costs to our systems. But to your point, you know, there we go. There's a real, there's been a real change in the history of the last 100 years, from creating corporations in order to benefit society and profiting. There was sort of an equal balance at some level of benefit and wellness to the society, to a place where now producers, for the most part, in whatever role they serve in the corporation, are benefiting, whether that's the investors or the executive class within a corporation. And the wellness element for the society continues to decrease. And so we have to really look at what that balance is. And the balance is, of course, in conflict with this idea that businesses and corporations have to grow in this country always and forever. And that you would just have to keep making more and more and more and more. At some point, at some point you start to decrease your output of wellness to your customers and your society.
Well, it's like, giving an analogy, you know, the corporation growing. It's like a person saying, well, you know, I need to just keep eating. I need to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. What happens? You get sick. And the corporations are sick right now because they're putting profits over the people. And that's the challenge, you know. And unfortunately, I believe a lot of the people are sick as a result of it. And what's the cure? Well, I think we go back to our values. You know, if you're working in a company and you're seeing stuff that's going on in that company, and you're going, I got to compromise my values. I got to compromise who I am to keep quiet about this. Then you're part of the problem. You're not the solution, you know? And listen, here's what I've learned. If it's not working for you, then get out. Get out. There's something good that's going to come of that, okay? You know, it doesn't have to be sudden. You can plan out your exit, but get out. You know, we all vote with our, you know, we vote with what, you know, where we work at. We vote with what we buy. You know, that's what we need to shift this. We got to get back to who am I? What am I? Why are we here? Right.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think work is such an important part of this conversation, especially with respect to unsubscribing and staying subscribed. Yeah, we have this myth in, at least in the major cities where I have lived, this myth that it's just work, meaning, you know, I can check my values at the door because I'm getting a paycheck, I'm feeding my family, I'm rising socioeconomically. Those things are not necessarily, quote unquote, bad things. But when your values come into great conflict with your aggregated values of, you know, the people who you work with, doing what you're doing as a whole, doing what you're doing as a member of a corporation, as an employee of a corporation, that's what you're putting into the world. So you can go home and you can love your children and you can eat healthy and you can be kind to your neighbors, as you should. But when you're spending 8 hours a day making a fabulously wealthy corporation even wealthier, and that corporation may or may not be putting good into the world, that's where, you know, that's the uncomfortable questioning that I think my book does, and I do, and I think a lot of conversations like this, you know, present.
All right, listen, I'm going to come back, and after this break, we're going to talk about what we did last time, because I loved it. How to pay off the national debt immediately. So we'll be right back.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I will be right back with my guest in just a minute. I want to let you know that we have a YouTube channel up there. We're encouraging you to subscribe there so you can share it with your family and friends. Just go to youtube.com/TheCourageNetwork, youtube.com/TheCourageNetwork, and you'll be able to watch all of our shows. Never miss a show. Hope you'll do it. All right, back to my guest. And Julio Vincent Gamudo has a new book out there. Well, it's not a new book, but it's new. It's new if you haven't read it. It's called Please Unsubscribe, Thanks, How to Take Back Our Time, Attention, and Purpose in a Relentless World. I would have put crazy in there too, but relentless world, that's good. And you get his book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever that good books are sold. So, all right, how do we pay off the national debt?
Woo, you're going to pay it for us, right, Cal?
Well, I want to start a movement with you because I think that, you know, that that's something we can do.
Well, any movement that starts from this moment forward has got to include all of us. And I think you and I would probably come at these problems from different perspectives, but with the same goal in mind, which is we've got to find the common ground that lets us not only be good to each other and be good to our families, but to move forward as a nation, as a, you know, as a people. And that, you know, might include solving the national debt crisis as well.
Yeah. Well, I think the national debt, you know, it's interesting, but it's just a sign of overconsumption. And it's, you know, there's overconsumption in, you know, in our, if you go to just about anybody's house in the United States and you look in their garage, I mean, it's just full with stuff. Then look in the cupboards, it's full with stuff. I mean, there's overconsumption going on so many different levels. And so once we can stop the overconsumption, once we can, you know, get back to what we talked about earlier, our values, you know, what our politicians, do they have no values? I mean, some of them, I really question, right? You know, and I'm not saying, you know, you're on the right or the left, you know, I think it's happening in both places. Okay. That we just don't have the values that are really a win-win-win for everybody. You know, the politician wins, the community wins, the individuals win, you know, the nation wins, everybody wins. Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, I think to your point about consumption, right, that has been a 60 to 80 year process, you know, after World War II, where we really ramped up production, obviously it ramped down, which is where we're in the moment we're in now in many ways, but we ramped up production and sort of got used to this idea that our homes would be bigger constantly and that they would be filled with things constantly. I think it was 1984, or I may have the date wrong, but George Carlin, you know, talked about a place for my stuff, right? That we just have stuff and then we buy a place to put more stuff and then we move our stuff from the old place to the new place. I'm not doing it justice. But the point is, it's very similar now. I mean, the facts at the moment are that we make up, you know, 5% of the world's population and we're responsible for 50% of its waste. That is, and we use a quarter of its resources. I mean, the numbers are astounding when you look at what American life does to industry, to the environment, whatever it might be. The point is, yes, we have a robust economy, but there is a huge price that we have paid for that. And it means our houses are full of stuff.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, I just see that if we don't, we're kind of at a critical point. And, you know, we have these critical points as we go through time in history. But this is really a critical point for us to make, you know, we're either going to come back to value-based judgments that support everybody. Or we're gonna, you know, and where we have, you know, we have choice, right? We all have choice, okay? And, you know, yeah, whether you believe you have choice or not, you do have choice, okay? We do live in a country that gives you free choice. You can choose, you can either choose to be pissed off all day and, you know, complaining, or you can choose to be part of the solution and get involved in, you know, make a difference, right? In your family's life, your home life, your community, whatever. Let's talk about what are some of the practical things that we can unsubscribe from?
Sure. Well, you know, I think it's good to think about what I'm talking about at three levels, right? First, the kind of surface level, the outer level, all the, for lack of a better word, crap that comes at you all day long in your email inbox, in your physical mailbox, all the messages, all the notifications. I call it the pinging, the ringing, the dinging. Everything in that level pretty much is the static, constant noise that keeps us in many ways from being in touch with our values and being in touch with what's important to us and what's meaningful in our lives. But it is surface stuff, meaning that, you know, it sort of comes in easily and it can go out just as easily, theoretically. The kind of middle level that I like to talk about is the social level, the people subscriptions, right? Where are we subscribed to relationships, whether they be immediate romantic relationships, family relationship, neighbor relationships, school relationships, just social media relationships with folks we don't actually know. Those are all social relationships in one way or the other. And where can we cut tethers with those that are not serving us, other people, the world, etc.? And then that third level, which I think you talk a lot about on your show, which certainly you did at the top of this one, the underlying beliefs. Those are subscriptions too. And what I mean by that is we subscribe, right? Subscribe means to write under, to sign under. We agree to these ideas and notions and beliefs that we hold really dearly. And we might not even know when we started to agree with it, but we made a decision, consciously or unconsciously, at some point in our lives, that this was the narrative we were going to live with, and this was the truth we were going to constantly try to prove and make true. I'm not a psychologist, but I've certainly studied a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy and worked with therapists over the years for the last 20 years as a patient to understand how these beliefs are in my own way as a human being. So I call all of that subscribing. Yes, Netflix. Yes, everything in your inbox. Yes, the people at the in your neighborhood and on the committee and with you at school and at work. Yes, those emotional relationships and contracts that you have with yourself about who you are in the world. So there's a lot in those three rings, but it's a prudent way to look at it, I think.
Well, there's a lot in those three rings, and I got to take a break. You know, when I come back, I want to discuss what people what they don't see. Okay, what they don't see that's keeping them stuck.
Yeah.
And so we'll discuss that right after this break. Yeah.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
We are talking with Julio Vincent Gambuto, and we are talking about his new book, Unsubscribe. And I'm going to put it up on the screen one more time so that we can all make sure that you remember it. Please unsubscribe. Thanks is the name of the book. How to Take Back Our Time, Attention, and Purpose in a Relentless World. So I hope you'll go out and go get that book. It's a book that's going to help you unsubscribe from some of the things that you don't even realize you need to unsubscribe from. It's going to trigger your thoughts, your memory, your understanding. It's filled with wisdom. It's going to help you to be filled with that wisdom too, and really have a much more, maybe a simple, peaceful life. That's what we're hoping for here. All right. Well, you know, people, a lot of times they don't see. They just don't see. We don't see what we don't see. We don't know what we don't know. And as a result, we live in pain and suffering, and sometimes, you know, we create our own misery. How do people start to see things differently?
It is such a large, profound, and wonderful question. So I do this exercise, Ken, where and I recommend it to people for about an hour, because after an hour it gets really annoying. But for an hour, to question why you're doing absolutely everything. I'm sitting at the office now. Why is this my office? It's in this state. Why do I live in this state? I'm going to do an interview on my laptop. Why am I, have I agreed to this interview? Why have I written the book that the interview's about? Why am I dressed in this shirt? What, et cetera, et cetera. And you can see why after an hour it can be obnoxious, right? But it's an exercise in consciousness. It's an exercise in getting present to your own behavior and to why it is that you go through life the way that you do. And so many of us, myself included, we live on autopilot for so much of our lives. And to be fair, that's a really basic human need almost, right? To not get up every second of the day and have to reevaluate the entire world every day. You have to kind of bank and store information and put it on autopilot so that you can get up and eat and do the things you have to do. But to your point earlier, and I think to many points in the book, autopilot is not always a good thing. And emotionally, spiritually, physically, it can be very damaging to us. So getting present to why we do what we do, to our day-to-day behaviors, asking the question, why, what's driving me forward, inside, deeper, to the store, to the office, whatever it might be, you know, is really the beginning of unearthing some of those underlying beliefs that you're talking about.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. And I guess I would plus that. I think you could also ask, what am I putting up with? Okay. And then ask, why am I putting up with it? What am I putting up with? You know, so ask Julio's question first, but then, you know, ask mine, because what'll happen is it'll capture, combining those two questions will capture probably 90% of the stuff that you're not seeing right now. And then of course comes the tough part, because it takes courage, right? So, but here's what I say, here's what I suggest. When you figure it out, okay, then do one thing. Do the worst first, whatever that is for you, whatever the hardest, most difficult thing is, go do it. Now, some of you are going to go, no, I like to do the soft things first. All right, I'll let you do those two. But some of you know that what I'm talking about, you always doing the soft things. So now let's do the worst first. And let's try from there.
You know, it's so funny that you put it that way, because attacking the worst, right? Doing the largest thing on your to-do list on a day-to-day basis, or diving into the hardest emotional problem that you might have, it kind of has this incredible power of kind of bulldozing your day or your life in the best way possible. Because you get to kind of come to the other side of it and you realize, oh, I've been carrying around the anxiety and the tension of that thing for so long. That if I, and I found the courage to put it down or to blow it up or whatever that might be, not literally, figuratively, you know, it's, it can be really powerful.
Yeah. You know, we recently bought a new home and, I hadn't bought a new home for a while. And, you know, there's this thing called, what was it? Dodd-Frank's, I guess, was put into place, 2012, something like that, after the mortgage crisis. And I would say that I got to do the worst first every day for 30 days. And I've never, I thank goodness for AI, because this mortgage company wanted me to write a letter explaining just about everything in my world. And, you know, I just used AI. I said, AI, here, create a letter to this mortgage company from me and my wife, and please give me an excuse why I did this. And they did it. One of the things it was asking is like, why do you have bank accounts in California when you're living in Arizona? I'm like, I don't know. Why? I've changed my bank account, you know?
Because the bank has locations in 49 states and I live in two of them.
Right, yeah, exactly. And AI comes back and says, we understand. I understand the real value and how going through this mortgage application, how valuable it is to know that, you know, or how important it is to know that, you know, we are at this location and blah. Anyway, we just went on and on, wrote beautiful letters. But the point is, you know, I didn't know how to do that, but I did do this. I thought, I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm going to do whatever it takes. And, you know, after that, I swear we expand. When you do the worst, you just said it. When you do the worst first, you expand. You become more cognizant and aware that you have so much more power than you ever thought you did. So I think there's a lot to be said with that. Please unsubscribe me from unhappiness. How do I unsubscribe from my unhappiness?
Great question. I think what I can add to that conversation is to take a look at where you're contracted to it. Take a look at where you have agreed to it in writing, not in writing, physically, digitally. Take a look at the entire landscape of your life, whether it is what's coming into your inbox, or coming into your home, or coming into your head, or coming into your heart. You've agreed somewhere that it's okay that that come in. And so if what's coming in is creating a lot of unhappiness, my challenge to viewers, readers, is to locate the subscription, locate the agreement. It could look like a physical contract. It could look like a conversation you had. It could look like a feeling you got when you were six. There's a lot that comes into our life based on what we've agreed to. And so if I can add anything, it's really to locate the contract. Find where I agreed. And then find a way to break it if you want to break it, or to renegotiate it. Right. So I'll give you a silly example, which may or may not be silly, but in my mind it was. I have a friend who here in Manhattan will not have lunch below 14th Street. He lives on the Upper East Side. He will not ever meet me below 14th Street. I live below 14th Street. And so it was just an agreement in our relationship for 15 years that whenever we made plans, I would go to him. I don't remember when I agreed. I don't know why I agreed, but I did. And it was creating a lot of tension for me. Is that the depth of my unhappiness in life? No, it's not. But I'm giving a foolish example just in order to point at it.
I don't think that's a foolish example. I think that that's a great example because it was creating stress in your life.
And you had to pinpoint it. And I had to go through the process of saying, when did I agree to do that? What belief is it tied to? And I had determined that I had never actually said to him, every time we're going to meet, I'm going to come to you. But I had this underlying belief that I was able to uncover after some personal investigating in my brain and my heart that if people have a higher status than I do in the city or in the society, I run to them. Why? I don't know. And if you trace it and trace it and trace it and trace it, you know, you can come up with any number of reasons why you have made that a part of how you operate and how you behave. And so I like the friend. I like the friendship. I didn't want to end the friendship. I didn't want to unsubscribe from having this person in my life. But I did need to renegotiate that part of our friendship. And so I said to him at lunch, I said, at some point, I decided that every time we get together, I'm going to come to you. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. I love seeing you, but it would mean a lot to me if we could trade back and forth. And next time for lunch, you come below 14th Street. And he's like, I don't even know when we agreed to that either, but you keep doing it. So I didn't say anything. And now whenever we have lunch, we trade back and forth, right? People are not going to stop you from doing nonsensical things if it serves them. So they don't mean to be malicious. They don't mean to be obnoxious, but they're not going to put their foot down and say, you know what? You always come to me and that benefits me. So I'm going to put an end to that. But I bring it up as an example simply of, I'm not saying go live in the woods like the Amish do and say, screw society. I'm saying locate the contract, find the emotional commitment, find the physical or digital commitment. And if you can, renegotiate it or cut it off if that, you know, serves you.
I love that. All right. So one more time, go get the book. Please unsubscribe. Thanks. Just remember those three words. Please unsubscribe. Thanks. And get a Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere books are sold. Now, we talked about getting to the cause, right? I've got a free gift for everybody, Julio, right? They go to my website. After they buy your book, they go to my website and they get a gift. It's called The Release Process. It's free. KenDFoster.com. That's all you got to go. KenDFoster.com. D as in Donald. KenDFoster.com. Go down there after you buy the book. Get the release process. Between this and the book, you're going to get conscious. You're going to get aware. You're going to be able to release this stuff in about 2-3 hours. Yeah. And it's going to be like taking off a dark pair of sunglasses you didn't even know you had on. You're going to put on a new pair of glasses. Maybe they're rose colored. Maybe you'll see life in a much more beautiful way. I guarantee you will, actually. But you know what, Julio, you know, I can say this to people, and you know, there's people right now that they'll go to their mind, well, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Here's the problem. Okay. Your mind's getting in your way. Just go take action. Okay. If you start thinking about it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get distracted. Go do it now. That's my advice. By the way, it's advice to live from. Don't let your mind run your life. Let your goals, your values, your being run your life. All right. Final thoughts, Julio. We got about 2 minutes left. What do you like to share with the audience in the next couple minutes?
Well, I think I'll piggyback on what you just said, because I find it really interesting. There's a little mantra that I have now, which I got from a Broadway show, which I don't think they were the first people to ever say it, but it was the first time that it really crystallized for me. And it's very much what you're saying, which is, don't believe everything you think. And I spent a long time in my life believing everything I thought and giving emotional weight and consequence to anything that was in my head, because I thought, hey, if it's in there, it must be true. It must be important. It must be meaningful. And that is not the place, thankfully, I'm at 47, but at 25, 35, that's where I was. I don't think it's related to age so much as it is to pushing yourself, to your point of your show, having the courage to push yourself to really unearth the things that are standing in your way, the beliefs that you have, the narratives you've made up, the myths that you subscribe to. And many of them come from what's in your head. Many of them come from what you're thinking, because they've been put there by a lot of other people and a lot of other forces. and be selective about what you decide to believe. Be selective about what you decide to take to heart. Be selective, like food, for your brain and your heart, just like for your stomach. Some of it's good for you and some of it's not. It's important to develop the skills and the muscles to be able to tell the difference.
Love it. And I'm going to plus that and give you three questions to ask. Is this mine? It's in your head. Is this mine? Is this someone else's or something else's, right? Something might be energy, the environment, you know, what's coming into you. But, you know, most people don't realize how empathic they are. And we can tune into other people. We tune in environments. You can walk in a room and feel an energy of anger. You know, if you tune into it, you'll feel it, right? So I love what you said. Don't, what'd you say? Say it again. Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Love it. And I want to thank all of you for being here today. And, you know, this show grows, you know, as a result of you taking a few minutes and subscribing to our YouTube channel. And I'm going to put it up there one more time. You know, go to our YouTube, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. That's how we, you know, we help each other, because you can pass the show on, you know, let other people know about it. Subscribe to our channel. That would be wonderful. And, I think that's it for me today. So from my heart to yours, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you'll be able to do the impossible. Truly, you will.